Hello and welcome to another edition of Illegal Immigration with our United Resource Pack. So this podcast is going to be shorter than our initial one on Monday, but it will be pretty informative nonetheless. What I've got going on for you today is I want to talk a little bit about a recently executed ICE investigation that ended up resulting in some federal search warrants being issued in three states, and those states are Nebraska, Minnesota, and Nevada. Excuse me. And all of those states and everything that went on resulted in literally one of the largest illegal immigration raids in United States history. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to touch on a specific state that to this point will remain unnamed and what they're doing to actually restore the rule of law. Specifically, they've sought an immediate injunction against the DACA program. And then we'll also very briefly look at the topic of illegal immigration and something I've heard through the grapevine that I'm not so sure I believe. I've heard through the grapevine that some illegal immigrants are opting to self-deport to Canada. So we're going to take a look at that. I'm going to give you my thoughts. I don't have too much on that, but just sit back and hear what I have to say. Let's go ahead and get this show started. All right, and once again, welcome to Illegal Immigration with our United Resource Pack. This podcast is solely dedicated to discussing illegal immigration, all right? So if you want to hear about something else, this is not the podcast for you. But if you do want to hear about everything and all things illegal immigration and solutions to the problem, this is the podcast that is what you're looking for. Our podcast is brought to you by our organization, our United Resource Political Action Committee. We're not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. We're registered with and regulated by the Federal Election Commission and Secretary of State in various states, the states where we run independent expenditures. The IRS recognizes us as a politically a tax-exempt political organization. It's been a long day, guys. so bear with me. Apologies. But ultimately, as I stated in the last podcast, and as you'll find me stating in every podcast, we're sincerely committed to committing the resources of the people to issues, policies, and politicians that are in the best interest of individuals, families, communities, and ultimately our country. I want to kind of take a look at that right there. While this podcast is about illegal immigration isn't the only issue we cover and focus on. You might want to take a look at the other podcasts we offer. They will be expanding over time. Our podcast program is just getting rolled out. So, stay tuned for more. I know at the moment we have our American Jobs for American podcast up. One of the issues we care about as sincerely as we do illegal immigration is the issue of making sure American jobs are held by American citizens, or at the very least, immigrants that are legal to this country. And, you know, we're the people's people. And like I said, it boils down to, yet again, us looking at the issues, policies, and politicians that best serve the interests of you as an individual, your family, your community, and our country. So let's go ahead and, again, we're going to jump right in. Before I get into our main thing today, which is the ICE raids that resulted in federal warrants in three states, there's one state in particular that I like to tip my hat to and say thank you to. There's one state that literally is seeking to restore the rule of law. I quite frankly, in my, you know, almost 30 years of life, I can't recall a time at which rule of law has been so violently disregarded. And I use the word violently specifically in reference to the podcast we had on Monday, where the Cortez Democrat from New York, how she talked about ICE violently essentially being against illegal immigrants. Yet, you know, we have no one talking about the violence that is taking place against the laws of this country. It's very troubling, and it's disheartening as well. But when I look at a state such as Texas and I look at what's going on there, all I can do is say thank you. You know, personally, this might come as a surprise to you. I'm not the most conservative. I actually, personally, there was recently a campaign, a walkaway campaign, where a lot of people who identified as Democrats ended up walking away from the Democratic Party. I've never personally been a hardline individual aligned with the Democratic Party. Even now, I would say I'm more of an independent, but I am finding that personally, I am veering a little bit more to the right. And I say this as a matter of being fully transparent. You know, this podcast isn't about me personally. I'm simply serving as a host, quite honestly, until we can get someone to be in this role, as I have a lot of other things to do as the president on the board, as well as CEO. I've got a lot going on, but, you know, we're a fairly new political action committee. But anyway, I say all that to say that, you know, Texas isn't a state where, you know, especially because it's pretty right leaning, considering that I'm from California. It's not a state that I personally, you know, would have said, hey, I need to go there. I need to live there. Specifically because, again, it's, you know, more right-leaning than I personally at one point would have liked. But I can't help but say thank you to Texas at this point. Texas is doing something that you have some other states, you know, falling in line with Texas, but a good majority of states, specifically these Democratic states, they wouldn't dare do what Texas is doing. And let me tell you what Texas is doing and why I'm saying thank you to Texas. Essentially, Texas is seeking a nationwide injunction against the DACA program. DACA stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. And they're seeking that injunction. And you have other states that, you know, essentially, you know, say that they want to do the same thing, but Texas is actually, you know, they're saying, you know, hey, we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. The DACA program, it's massive. It protects literally almost 750,000 illegal immigrants from deportation. Almost 750,000, basically 700,000 illegal immigrants are protected from being deported simply because of the DACA program. And the state of Texas, what is so promising to me and so inspiring to me when I look at the state of Texas is the fact that the state seems to recognize something that's very fundamental. And it recognizes that it has an urgent and a legal duty to protect its citizens. No one is saying, you know, you don't look out for non-citizens. I mean, look at the amount we spend in foreign aid to other countries, you know. We surely care about people who are not American citizens, but first and foremost are American citizens. And I think if at large, you know, states have decided, hey, well, we just have no regard for our citizens, I think it's nothing but commendable that you can look at Texas and Texas is not only saying but demonstrating that it recognizes it needs to and it wants to protect its citizens. And, you know, if you were in Texas as well, you know, you should feel a sense of gratitude for that because a lot of people in other states, such as myself, don't have states that recognize that they have a duty to protect us, the citizens. And just, again, in the time in which we live, where it seems like, you know, these illegal immigrants take precedent over Americans, it's encouraging to see a state stand up for Americans, for its Americans. And, you know, I mean, look at this. There's, when you look at Texas specifically, maybe this has something to do with it. But in Texas, Texas spent almost $400 million to provide emergency Medicaid services to illegal aliens over the last 11 years. Almost $400 million. That money should have been spent on American citizens, or at the very least, legal immigrants, people who gave a damn about following the rule of law. And, you know, all I can do is ask the question, you know, how much has the government, either on a federal level or your state specifically, spent on emergency medical services for you? Think about it. I'm going to let it sit with you for a second. How much of that $400 million pie did you get a slice of? Do you know anyone who did? Something to think about, man. And when you think about it, you should feel some sort of way, whether it's anger or frustration. You should feel in a way that motivates you or compels you to take some sort of action. And if you are in the state of Texas, you should feel thankful that your state recognizes that this madness has got to stop.
何か目的があって旅してたんじゃないのか。なぜこんな通りすがりのものに手を貸す。
So today, ICE executed a series of criminal arrest warrants for 17 people that are connected to an alleged criminal conspiracy to exploit illegal alien workers. And they were exploiting them for profit, obviously, for fraudulent purposes. They committed wire fraud. They did money laundering. And as mentioned earlier, this was quite frankly one of the largest raids of illegal immigrants involving multiple states in this country's history. So it's definitely a good thing. There were actually also search warrants that were served for work site hiring violations, specifically at agricultural firms, which, you know, isn't too surprising. I mentioned earlier how we have another podcast. We're going to be expanding and having more podcasts, but the other one we have up at the moment is our American Jobs for Americans. And that podcast is every Tuesday. This one is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But yesterday on American Jobs for Americans, I read a letter to U.S. employers about the practice of hiring illegal immigrants, and even those who were here legally but who aren't citizens, like green card holders. And I talked about, better yet, I'm not going to, let me play it for you. It's pretty short, but I'm going to play it for you and let you hear it for yourself. All right, and again, thank you so much for tuning in. Let's go ahead and get the show started. I am your host, Brittany McDowell. I am also the founder, president, as well as CEO here at Our United Resource Pack. This show is brought to you by Our United Resource Political Action Committee. We're not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. We're registered with and regulated by the Federal Election Commission and the Secretary of States in various states. We're registered with the IRS and recognized as a tax-exempt political organization. And ultimately, we commit the resources of the people to issues, policies, and politicians that are in the best interest of individuals, families, communities, and our country. So, just thought you should know that. It's very, very important, especially given the fact that it's our first show. But anywho, now that all that's out the way, let's go ahead and let's dive right in. I want to start with an open letter, a letter to the employers of America, okay? I've got something I want to say, and I really want to set the tone for this show, for how I feel personally, and how the organization views this issue. So if you are an employer, please, please, please listen up. So, shall we start? Dear American employers, President Donald Trump has prioritized revitalizing the American job market, but he cannot do it alone. He needs your help. It is preferable that you request job applicants to either hold U.S. citizenship or work authorization from the federal government. If you are not going to hire American citizens, please hire employees whose work permits don't expire. Please be informed if you hire immigrants with green cards and reject job applicants who don't possess said green cards, you are not discriminating against non-citizens. Take comfort in knowing that companies like Discover Financial Services, Delta Airlines Incorporated, and Intel Corporation are among those getting more skeptical about the citizenship of job applicants. Making this move for yourself, your company, and our country will be done in lockstep with profitable, ethical organizations. Your company doesn't have to be as large as Discover Financial Services or Delta Airlines, but you can still do your part to help revitalize the American job market. We should be striving to find and develop homegrown talent. Now, there is a massive skills gap our nation is facing, but as a country that values both personal and shared responsibility, I ask of you one thing. Please reconsider those American job seekers who apply to your vacant positions but only possess 80% of the skills, experience, or education you desire or require. Consider that you can take an individual, the right individual, and make an investment in them, in your company, and train them on the skills or experience they lack, assuming that the gap or costs are not too great. For job applicants that lack experience but are running strong in the education and skills department, consider giving them an opportunity to gain experience, potentially on a contractual basis with compensation tied to performance. Sometimes the best people may not look the best on paper. If given the opportunity, the right candidates may turn out to be the best thing to happen to your company. You play a vital role in the recovery of our economy. Please don't allow people to take jobs from U.S. workers. We have to end the theft of American prosperity, which has been brought on by low-wage immigrant labor. Thank you. Okay, so you heard the letter that I wrote for employers yesterday. It touched mainly on the skills gap, but you also heard me reference how, you know, employers need to hire American, employers need to make sure that people have documentation that doesn't expire. And so there was some touch on illegal immigration yesterday. But let's go ahead and let's fast forward back to today. Essentially, the search warrants that were served today are relevant specifically to the letter that I wrote yesterday. And I'm not a psychic. I didn't have any foresight or anything. But the search warrants were for hiring violations. You know, I mean, I think it's so just like, oh my goodness, that, you know, yesterday I wrote a letter to these employers, an open letter. And today, what does ICE make arrests in regards to? Hiring violations. You know, I mean, I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. Not that I would want to, because it's detrimental to our country and our communities and our families, us as individuals. But when you look at this, you know, forget the fact that I was right and I need to put my mind together and try and get these lotto numbers together, because apparently I'm gifted and I didn't know it. But put that aside and just consider the fact that this stuff is getting out of control, this illegal immigration stuff. And it should really both anger you, but as I even talked about, you know, as it related to Texas, people should be angry and they should feel some sort of way about it, but it should also motivate you. It should serve as a motivational factor for you to get up and for you to do something. You know, you have to start actively aligning yourself and your vote with politicians and policies that come down hard on companies that engage in behavior like this. You know, the day when you could just sit on the sideline and say, oh, it doesn't matter, those days are gone. But then on the flip side, the day when you could just sit on the sidelines and say, I voted, I did my job, or, you know, I listened, you know, to what someone said, and I didn't, you know, investigate for myself, and I didn't really try to hold these, you know, politicians accountable. I hate to break it to you, ladies and gentlemen, but we're at a really crucial point where we've all got to do a minimal amount of work for us to make this thing, this idea, this thing called America, for it to continue to work and be operational and not be hijacked. We've got to get off the sidelines. You know, when you look at the investigations that happened, the authorities, they identified employees who were subject to arrest for immigration violations, and they were essentially working unlawfully at the businesses in which they were found. And when you look on the other side and you ask yourself, what would they do? If the other side had their way, this investigation would have resulted in absolutely nothing happening. And quite frankly, we would have continued to perpetuate this crapping all over the rule of law in America, you know, and no one would bat an eye or talk about it or care about it at all. I mean, if you think otherwise, you're almost as delusional as they are. We already know how it would play out if they had exactly what they wanted. And when you look at the actual numbers, we talked about the 17. Those 17 were the managers and the business owners, but you had a total of 133 illegal workers that were arrested for just simply the immigration violations. And, you know, I'm very certain, if I had to put my money on it, that the open border sympathizers, they're going to be protesting about these arrests. Just give it a few days. You know, maybe by the time we have a podcast Friday, I'll be talking about, you know, the craziness from the other side, and, you know, they're camping out outside of the jails trying to, you know, demand that these people be let loose. I'm going to try and refrain from saying I told you so. I can't promise I won't say it, you know, but I will do my best to refrain from saying I told you so. You see how accurate I was. Well, I'm not even say accurate, because I didn't predict this happening, especially within the span of 2 days, in terms of me having a letter to employers and then this hiring violation issue resulting in search warrants. But, you know, I don't know. Y'all, I don't know. But what I do know is that some of the illegal immigrants, not all of them, some of them that were arrested today, they will be issued, if they haven't already, they're going to be issued notices to appear before a federal judge. And those people are going to be released from custody. Let that sink in. They were caught. They're going to be released. Let me ask you, how do you think it's going to turn out? You think they're going to show up for their court dates? Absolutely not. They're not. I give it a good 80-90% are not going to show up. We all know how it's going to turn out, not even just based off of a hunch, but based on past behavior is the best indicator of future behavior. Why do we have so many people who are here illegally? A majority of them have overstayed their visas. A majority of them were due to show up in court, and they didn't. We caught them and we released them. I mean, think about it like this. For those of you who go out fishing, you catch a fish. You catch the fish and you release the fish. What's the likelihood that you're going to catch that same fish again? What's the likelihood? But facts aside, like I said, they're going to be released. We all know that they won't show up for court and they're going to go on the run. And I hate to say it, but this is their version of a chance for American citizenship. They don't consider their chance for American citizenship to be trying to get asylum or going to a legal port of entry. Oh, no, that's not the chance for citizenship. The chance for American citizenship, the chance to live the American dream, is to cross the border illegally, get caught, be assigned a court date, because by then I'll know they're on to me, and then I'll know I have to go into hiding. That's the American dream. That's their version of a chance for American citizenship, not the one that we have in place where they're supposed to go through processes and stuff like that. Oh, no. But the rest of the people, the ones that aren't being caught and released, they're essentially going to remain in ICE custody, as they should. Quite frankly, all of them should, in my opinion, stay in ICE custody, and this should be until the immigration court proceedings. But you know what? You want to hear something better than the illegal aliens being arrested? Like I talked about, I'm going to bring it back to those 17 business owners and managers. They were arrested as well. You know, I should have included that in my letters to employers yesterday. You know, the risk of arrest, you know, please hire American because you don't want to be arrested. You know, I bet if we start really putting the word out there, or if we really show this as a possibility, you know, because a lot of these employers, you know, seem to, based on their actions, believe that these laws are not enforceable. And so they have no problem just doing what's in their best interest. But I can guarantee you, if we start letting them know and we start promoting the fact that, hey, you're going to be in jail right along with them, I bet they'll stop giving away American jobs. These people wanted an illegal alien workforce in their business. Like, that's just wrong. You know, you pass the people on the streets, you pass your neighbors, you interact with your friends every day, the people you go to church. I mean, whatever the case, wherever you are, you're around people who you know have a need. You know, if you can recall from the clip that I just played in the letter, I talked about the fact that a lot of these employers have to have shared responsibility in this skills gap that is very real, because I do have an HR background, but the skills gap is very real. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh no, it's not real. It's very real, but there is shared responsibility that employers do have. Rather than saying, I'm going to keep a position vacant because I don't have a person who is 100% of what I want, sometimes it's on them to take an otherwise perfectly qualified candidate who's only at 80%, or maybe in as low as 70% and say, you know what, I'm going to invest in them. I'm going to invest in my company, and I'm going to give this American a job. You know, I'm going to give them a chance. It doesn't have to be a long chance. You know, you can have performance tied to compensation. I mean, there's so many different options, but when you don't even want to go that route and you just say to yourself, I'm going to use and exploit an illegal alien workforce instead of using qualified, dignified, moral, respectable Americans, you are the scum at the bottom of the bucket. You know, and I'm sure that the people who listened to the podcast yesterday on American Jobs for Americans, or, you know, even it might have crossed your mind now to this point, you know, why in the world did I write a letter to employers, especially when, when the letter wasn't geared at a particular employer. Stories like this are exactly why I did that. I am in the know. I know what's happening. I know what's out there in these streets, and I know what's not out there in these streets. What's out there in these streets are unscrupulous employers. And speaking of unscrupulous, it likes to be said nowadays that ICE is this unscrupulous organization that's just doing horribly wrong. We talked about that in the podcast on Monday. These are the real bad actors. Not all employers, but these employers, the scum at the bottom of the bucket that are hiring, you know, this illegal alien workforce while you have qualified, dignified, moral Americans who are, even if they're not perfectly capable, who are willing and capable, if not perfectly, you're scum, dude. And we here at our United Resource Pack, if you're one of those employers, doubt they're listening to me, but if they happen to, I want them to know one of the things we're committed to is literally targeting you and making sure you don't get a break. You don't want to give a break to Americans. We're not going to give you the tax breaks that you want. We are looking to put politicians in office that literally want to remove your break, your tax breaks. No, if you're giving these jobs to non-citizens, specifically illegal immigrants, or if you're taking your jobs overseas, we're taking our tax breaks. And we're making sure politicians that support that get put in office. And we're removing the politicians that want you to keep your tax breaks and your illegal aliens. It's stopping with us today. This is exactly why I wrote that letter. Exactly why. I couldn't have asked for a better example to stress why that letter wasn't, why it was important. I wasn't just writing it because I had nothing better to do. I didn't just write it just on a hunch. I mean, I didn't know with certainty that, you know, I today would be talking about this federal investigation. I had no idea, but I did know that bad apples and bad actors, as was said, bad hombres, these are them. These are those bad hombres. This is exactly why, you know, those business owners and those managers, even though the managers, yes, they didn't start the businesses, but they were equally as complicit in defrauding the U.S. government and creating an unfair advantage over the competition. And I know business is about competition, but I can guarantee you if the roles were reversed and their competitors did this crap to them, do you think they would sit by and take it? From a certain perspective, well, actually, in pretty much a majority of perspectives, competition is healthy. But there are some things that are moral and some things that are not moral. Think about this. What was one of the things that we talked about Monday on the podcast? The morality of illegal immigration. Now, we talked about the morality from the perspective of the illegal immigrant, but this is something else to think about. The morality that these bad hombres have hiring these illegal immigrants. Is it a far fetch to think that, you know, people who in my mind, this is just the thinking of Brittany. If I'm sitting up here and if I have this mindset that is not of the best of moral compasses, it wouldn't be too far of a leap or a jump for me to hire someone who would be complicit in said type of behavior. You know, so yes, I know we talked about the morality and we came down on the morality as it relates to the illegal immigrant, but it goes up higher than them. You know, these people who to help them. And I don't mean help them like, oh, you see them on the side of the road and, you know, you give them something to eat. No, I don't mean like that. These people who help them break the law, those are some bad actors too. Okay. And these employers, like I said, the main thing for me, they were looking to defraud the U.S. government. And, you know, and if you want to talk about helping people, you know, I mean, I'm sure we're all compassionate people, but let's for a very split second, try to put ourselves in the shoes of these open border sympathizers. And let's look at the illegal immigrant from their perspective. These employers, these bad hombres, are doing the illegal immigrants wrong too. Why? Because they're controlling them through force. They're threatening them. They're threatening them with arrest or deportation. You know, as if, you know, hey, I'll call ICE, and some of these people don't know that they, you know, could turn around and get the employer in trouble as well. You know? Do you hear these open border sympathizers on the other side? You know, do you hear them crying foul about this and saying, well, no, we want legal immigration for these people, and we want them to follow the law because they're getting taken advantage of? You don't hear that. These illegal aliens, they were allegedly required to cash their paychecks at an illegal remittance business for a fee. Then they had quote unquote tax money deducted from their pay, even though this money was never paid to the government. And they were forced to remain quiet about this criminal activity. Some of them, I'm sure, you know, they were being told, hey, we're getting taxes taken out. You know, they probably thought they legitimately were getting taxes taken out and they were being paid. I mean, think about this. I know I've personally heard several times it said that, you know, these illegal aliens pay taxes. Now, yeah, they pay sales taxes when they purchase items and stuff. But this is an example of where they're thinking, oh, I'm getting taxes taken out of my check and I'm paying taxes just like an American citizen. No, you're not. You're not paying taxes like an American citizen. You were being taken advantage of, but you don't hear the other side talking about that. Question their motive. Why? Why aren't they talking about it? Again, where are the open border sympathizers, and why aren't they crying foul and demanding protection for illegals by demanding that they avoid this crap by coming here legally? Again, we talked about responsibility. We talked about it on Monday, but we talked about personal responsibility as it relates to parents and this reunification stuff. But there's also personal responsibility in saying, you know what, hey, I know I've got it bad where I'm from, and there's these cartels and all this stuff. You know, I know it's bad, but I've got to be responsible for myself and how I get out of this situation. You don't hear this personal responsibility stuff. Do you remember, again, on the last show when we talked about morality as it relates to immigration and how the illegal immigrants have to break other laws to stay here? Do you remember that? If not, I'm going to, well, I don't think I can play it for you. But you can always go back and listen to it. That's rather lengthy, and I don't want to lengthen this too much more. So I'll just summarize it. Essentially, when we talked about the morality of it, we talked about how, you know, coming here illegally will only be the first the first illegal action that they have to take. In order for them to continue to be here illegally, they have to commit, they have to break other laws. Okay, we talked about that. I think we talked about, I think it was Chuck Schumer, and how he said something to the extent of, you know, oh, I've had, you know, if when you have so many IDs or identities, it's hard to talk about, it's hard to remember your names or how many identities, something absurd that sounded like it came from, as my grandmother would say, that it came from the pit of hell. I mean, it just didn't sound like it made any sense or was rational to anybody if you would have heard it. I couldn't believe it when I had to report it. But anywho, you know, we talked about then how many of the illegal immigrants have to break other laws. So is it surprising today that I come here reporting that many of the illegal immigrants that were arrested today, does it surprise you that they were using fake IDs? But get this. Let me take a sip of my soda first. These fake IDs, they weren't just run-of-the-mill, you know, your friend made them for you using the printer fake IDs. Oh, no, 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 no. Those wouldn't have done. Okay? These were IDs belonging to U.S. citizens. Wow, right? Wow. Wow. You know, so again, these open border lawless immigrant sympathizers care more about these people coming to our country, stealing not just the country and our resources, but stealing American identities. They care more about them than they care about the Americans that are having their dang identities stolen. And I apologize. I'm so heated when on this matter, because it's like I'm questioning while I'm reporting this in this moment, I'm questioning, good Lord, what am I going to be reporting on Friday? I'm almost scared to come on Friday. Like, what am I going to be talking about? You know, in 2 days, think about where we've been and what we've covered, people. It's like I said, it's very, very alarming. And, you know, what I want to know, though, is these politicians, the ones that support these open borders, I want to know, do they have identity protection, like personal identity protection? I know I'm not the only one who has seen like the LifeLock commercials. I don't have LifeLock. But I want to know, do they use a company like that? Like, do they protect their identity and have that $1 million protection plan or whatever is promoted? Do they have identity protection? You know, I know some credit cards come with identity protection. I even have, what's that app? I think it's Lookout or Lockout something. It's basically an antivirus app for my mobile devices. It also helps me track my app. I'm not promoting them, just telling you about the app. But then they recently started offering identification protection. But I want to know, do they have this protection? Because they apparently don't seem to care about another American's identity getting stolen. Like, they flat out, they don't. You know, I want to know, do they have it? I almost want to say, please, go on the record. Go on the record and tell me if you have identity protection. You know, where do these politicians and these candidates that support these open borders, I want to know, and maybe we'll report on later, where they fall on consumer protections and how they've voted in the past, specifically those protections that protect consumer personally identifiable information, such as your social security number, so on and so forth. How have they voted on that? Why is this important? Because if their actions are consistent and they're wanting these open borders so they don't care about, you know, the increased likelihood of your identity getting stolen, but then they've also voted against consumer protection, for starters, at least they're consistent, so I'll give them that. But then on the flip side, at least they're consistently showing you that they're not voting to protect the American consumers, the American people. But then if you look at the flip side, if they are voting or if they have a voting record of protecting American consumers, when you look at how they've voted on consumer protections, they owe us an explanation as to why they only want to partially protect American consumers. They only want to partially protect us. They don't want to protect us when it comes to the people coming here illegally. You know, are Americans not worth total protection? Your car warranty will give you total protection. Your insurance claims it gives you total protection. But these politicians, at least ones who have voted for consumer protections, but then they turn around and they want these open borders, they don't want to give us total protection. They want us to live with partial protection. And I'm telling you, Britney's not okay with partial protection. PP is not for me. I need TP. Ooh, I like that one. I'm a dork like that, guys. You know, but anywho, I've ranted on this for a while. I just want to end with this. You know, I bet my bottom dollar that if one of their identities was stolen or even moderately at risk, we're not even talking stolen, but if it was even moderately at risk, like the average American, these open border loving politicians and these open border loving candidates, I can guarantee you something would happen. They would have a change of heart. So I've heard through the grapevine that some illegal immigrants are self-deporting to Canada, and they're going for asylum in Canada instead of being confronted with federal immigration officials here in the United States once they get here from down south. I want to know what your thoughts are on this. You know, I'm not sure if it's happening in large numbers. Quite frankly, I don't know if it's really happening at all. Again, this is just something that I've heard through the grapevine. Seems to be a very long grapevine. It seems to have many, many grapes on this grapevine, but it's a grapevine nonetheless. And the grapevine is talking to me, y'all. But I don't know if it's really happening. So I'm going to do my thing and get the facts together on this. And then I'll get back to you with the cold, hard facts in a future podcast. But I just want you to think about that. I want you to think, you know, ask yourself, do you think it's really happening? I don't know. I want to, you know. I want to know if I'm the only one who, you know, thinks that this isn't really happening and that maybe this grapevine is short a few grapes, even though it has many, many grapes on it. I don't know. But yeah, I'll get back to you on that in a future podcast. But that's pretty much all we have for this podcast. I spent a lot of time talking about this investigation and this raid that happened with ICE, and I tied it into our last show and then even another podcast. It was crazy, in my opinion. You know, I like I said, I'm still trying to figure out if I believe the grapevine about this migrating to Canada. But we're definitely going to cover it in a future show. So just be prepared. I don't know if it'll be in our next show because based on what happened today, coming from Monday, I'm kind of nervous about what Friday's going to look like. So who knows? We may be talking about it. We may not. But whatever the case, just be prepared to kind of go down that rabbit hole with me in a future show. But anywho, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. This was our second podcast for illegal immigration with our United Resource Pack. Please stay tuned to future posts and know that I'm really looking forward to doing this podcast long term. I probably won't be the person doing the podcast, as I stated earlier. And I don't know if I stated in every show, but I believe I mentioned that not only do I host this podcast, I'm also the president on our board, as well as the CEO with Daily Operations. And being that we're a new pack, we have a lot going on. We're going to be rolling out not just a lot of podcasts, but we've got a lot coming out in terms of conference calls, events, stuff working with partners, some webinars, some offline stuff. So I'm a little bit all over the place. And I do know that, like I said, long term, I probably won't be hosting this. I can't say how long I'll be hosting this show, but for the time being, you have me. And I will be opening up personally. I don't want to get too personal, but you'll get to know me through this podcast. And I just want you to know that you can expect that. I don't want to just get on here and get into the stories and keep myself out of it. But I do want you to know that, you know, the podcast isn't about me, but I will always freely share with you guys. This is a medium for us to connect on a personal level, not just you connecting with our organization, but it's a medium for you to connect with me, the person who founded the organization, is the president on the board, and is the chief executive officer. I wear many, many hats, and one of those hats is getting to be your personal connection to our organization. Again, thank you so much for listening. My name is Brittany McDowell. I will talk to you guys via our next podcast this upcoming Friday, which is the 10th of August. Have a good one. I will see you soon, or talk to you soon. Thank you for listening for Illegal Immigration with our United Resource Pack. I just noticed I said four, not two. See, you're really getting to know me. I slip up. Have a good one, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.